There seems to be more talk now about flying saucers and unidentified flying objects than ever before. This book, Incident at Exeter, has just been published. It's the new focal point of our national debate about unidentified flying objects. It's written by a distinguished columnist with the Saturday Review of Literature. His name is John Fuller. He's the author. We've invited him to come on and tell us his side of the story. So would you all greet Mr. John Fuller.
I think they landed in the band.
Somebody dropped a bottle over there. Right. John, how'd you become interested in the subject?
Well, Merv, the interesting thing was that I knew nothing about the subject. I mean, I was a complete neophyte on the subject. But I was struck for an idea for my column one day that I do for the Saturday Review. And I happened to pull a little clipping out from the New York Times. I decided I'd take one case. I was tired of seeing these cases appear in the paper and then dropping.
Yeah.
I took one case. I started to follow it down. I did a short piece in the Saturday Review about it. Look magazine read it. And then Putnam read the Look piece and the Saturday Review and asked me to do a book on it. And I am a complete non-UFO expert. But I'm a good reporter.
Good, good. John, because I've interviewed a lot of people who have seen them, and they're usually cuckoo clocks, you know.
That's right. That's right. And don't think I'm not worried about that.
No. They're funny to have on, and they tell you about little people running around and getting off them. And here's two that might have.
Yeah.
But you are the first man of the Fourth Estate, the man of letters, that I have ever met who claims he has seen one.
Well, frankly, if I didn't have a licensed pilot who was also a very cynical newsreel cameraman with me at the time, I would have never told anybody about it.
What'd you see, John?
The one I saw was much less dramatic than the cases that I documented in the book at Exeter.
New Hampshire.
Yeah, Exeter, New Hampshire, yeah.
I know that incident.
And two policemen, the original incident, which I started to... I went up there. If I could debunk the story, I was going to debunk it. I could get a little ghost story about a New England town, you know, with the reactions of people, the psychological feelings, that would have been fine, too. But I got up there, and I found that this case checked out so thoroughly and was documented so completely by really tough-minded, cynical officers, police officers, one of whom was an Air Force veteran. It came so close to him, and it was so enormous that he dropped on the ground and pulled his gun. Now, police officers of this caliber do not do this if they see something, you know, in the sky. Then I found that I unearthed 60 confident, reliable people whom I checked out as to character, competence, and capacity for observation. And I grilled them. I interrogated them, tape recorded everything. If I hadn't had a tape recorder, I would have buried the story. It is, I can't help feeling, Merv, that there is a remote possibility that this could be the biggest newsbreak in history. I don't say that. I say it's a possibility.
Was this not the case, John, where they, the object was coming in on high-tension wires?
They were consistently reported above high-tension wires. I discovered later that the original police incident was near high-tension wires. I didn't realize this at the time.
Do you believe the story that they are manned by space creatures? Or?
Merv, I'll say this. I'm very cautious. I'm a very cautious journalist. I don't make rash statements. I say that there is overwhelming evidence that they exist. I think this has to be accepted now.
What?
Because UFOs exist.
Right.
That's crap. That, I don't think, can any longer be denied. You had Dr. Hynek, the head of the Astronomy at Northwestern. He made a statement to the Optical Society of America not long ago that he had to admit that the evidence was so overwhelming that he was bowed down by it. So I think there's no question that they exist. I think the theory that holds up the most, with the least holes in it, after you consider everything, is the interplanetary theory. But I can't go beyond that because, you know, no one landed on my lawn yet.
What did you see, though? Can you describe
it? Oh, yes, I was getting that.
What you saw?
What I saw was a jet fighter plane chasing a dull orange disc from the northwest to the southeast at 4,000 to 6,000 feet, moving at approximately 400 to 500 miles an hour. And the disc was about five plane lengths in front of the jet. And we kept it in sight for about 20 to 30 seconds as this luminous disc moved in front of the plane. The diameter of the object, again, I worked with the pilot on this, and we talked it out for 2 hours before we would accept what we were seeing, you know, that we wanted to document it. It was about one-third the diameter of the plane's fuselage. The plane's running lights were bright. Now, this is a small one. And the reason why I don't even play this up, this sighting up, actually, or even in the book, is that the type of documentation I was getting from solid people. Now, these are taciturn, laconic Yankees, and they're a tough house.
The New England stock,
yeah,
right.
Was people would give me testimony, and I would check them three ways against the middle, ask them the same question three times, try to trap them, try to throw them off base. They would say, I was driving down Route 88, 11 o'clock at night. I saw pulsating lights down there, and I thought there was an accident down the road. I speeded up to get near the car, and suddenly I realized that this was an enormous craft hovering silently 10 or 20 feet above the road, which would wobble and hover without a sound, and then shoot up into the sky with incredible speed. Now, I got so much testimony like this, tape recorded, on cross-examination math basis, that I went back to Look magazine when I got halfway through the research, and I played them these tapes. And I said, listen, I might have gone around the bend. You know, I could have flipped.
Right.
And so I said, will you send the senior editor up there to check my research? He went up. At the end of 3 days, he threw his hands up in the air. Gary Zimmerman. Then Reader's Digest magazine picked up the short Look article. The book is much, much more detailed and much more... And
I read your Look story. It was fascinating.
Yeah, it fascinated me. I mean, I don't get this fascinated over a story.
Right.
And I get bored with a lot of them. So then Reader's Digest picked up the Look article, and they sent a researcher on the job for 4 or 5 days to check our research. So no story has been documented so much.
But let me ask you this, John.
UFO history.
You say that one of our Air Force fighter planes was chasing it.
Yes.
What does our Air Force say to you?
Our Air Force will give us no information at all. From the local base, they will hand out very stereotyped...
But you said you talked to the pilot.
No, I had a pilot with me, a licensed pilot with me on the ground who verified the altitude, speed. He was both a pilot and a newsreel cameraman. He was not the Air Force pilot. Now, on the other hand, I got much off-the-record stuff from Air Force officers, radar men, Navy men at Portsmouth, Coast Guardsmen, who verified all these happenings as they went along, the radar reports. Some radar reports, one Navy report, not at Portsmouth, but in another place, was clocked at 3,000 knots in the atmosphere. Now, the Air Force is making a very bad mistake because they are going to... I caught them in an enormous fabrication in this... that's a little rougher word. I say an enormous confusion of the Exeter case, and presented it to a colonel in the Public Information Office of the Pentagon, and he said, are you calling me a liar? And I said, no, I'm not calling you a liar. I want to know, how can you justify these statements made by your office, these statements made by your local men, and the complete discrepancies? And he said, sir, you are talking to an officer of the United States Air Force, and stamped off. Now, that's not intelligent thinking.
It's a fascinating subject. And I recommend to you John Fuller's Incident at Exeter. I'm sure it's a great book. We'll be right back.